I hope the voters in Hatch are happy with their school board members. Because if they're not, there's not a thing they can do about it in November. All three school board races were decided on candidate filing day when only one person filed to run. And so, we can congratulate Merlinda Hinosa, Lupi Castillo, and Greg Mitchell for their wins. As for the Hatch voters, something other than congratulations would seem appropriate. Their only contested race this year will be for trustee. Las Cruces has just the opposite situation. We've got enough candidates in the mayoral race, 10, to fill a Democratic presidential debate stage. Of the 7 races in Las Cruces, both municipal and school board, not one is uncontested. But with all that opportunity comes a new challenge that is likely to disproportionately impact those voters who lamented the loss of one vote straight party ballot. But with all that opportunity comes a new challenge that is likely to disproportionately impact those voters who lamented the loss of the one vote straight party ballot, not because it believed it gave their side a tactical advantage, but because they didn't want to go to all the trouble of filling in all those bubbles. The municipal election in Las Cruces this year will have ranked choice voting for the first time. So, instead of having just one bubble after each candidate's name, there will be 10 in the mayoral race. In his Sunday cartoon for the Sun News, Bob Divin suggests that ballots will look more like grocery lists unfolded to the floor. For those intimidated by or distrustful of what is a pretty significant change in the way we pick our local leaders, the county clerk's office has stressed that you don't have to rank all 10 candidates. If you want to vote for just one, like you always have, that's fine. Your vote will be counted along with all the other first-place votes, and if any candidate gets 50% of the vote, they win. If no candidate gets 50%, they'll throw out all the votes for the last place finisher and count again. As long as your candidate didn't finish last, your vote will still be counted. They keep doing that until somebody gets to 50%. The obvious advantage of ranked choice voting is that it saves the cost of having a runoff election. But cost saving should be a secondary consideration when it comes to something as important as elections. The most important advantage of ranked choice voting is that far more people participate in the final decision. Runoff elections routinely have dismal voter turnout. The concept is still too new to know if it helps one side or the other politically. But in theory, it should advantage more moderate candidates who have a broader appeal to a wider number of voters, and disadvantage those candidates whose style of campaigning angers or antagonizes voters. There's a second challenge to the above-mentioned disproportionately impacted voters, which has always been true for municipal elections. They're nonpartisan. That means when you get your ballot, not only will there be 10 bubbles next to every candidate's name in the mayor's race, there won't be a D or an R next to the name. Voters who use those designations as their North Star guiding all ballot decisions may be a little bit lost. But for voters who look beyond the party and take an interest in their city and schools, there's a real opportunity here. Consolidated elections means we can have our voice heard in all of these races at one time. We can either call for change or we can demonstrate our support for the current leadership. There are a lot of first-time candidates in this year's race, and I look forward to getting to know all of the candidates better between now and November. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel.